Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sycamore with you guys from thedraftnetwork.com. We've been talking about defensive backs all week, particularly with an eye toward the 2019 draft. Talking about cornerbacks on Monday and Tuesday, then safeties yesterday. Today we give our top fives at both positions. And I know for a fact, Trevor, you have watched someone and are somewhat high on someone I haven't even seen, and it's in my assigned conference for the Draft Network, the SEC.
Imagine that.
It's going to make me look like a slacker, but more than anything, I'm just excited you found a good safety in the SEC, because I ain't found many. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, all right. So when you say good, you should understand that you're talking to someone who loves extremely high variance guys, so you're probably going to hate him.
You do really like high variance guys, don't you?
You know?
It's a very clear-cut difference in our scouting styles. I really value consistency, and you really value, you like the high variance. That doesn't scare you away. I've learned to accept more of the high variance.
You make one play in 3 years, you're a top 100 guy in my book. The play is good enough.
And if you go to Florida.
That's not true. No, I've plenty of criticism of Florida, so don't worry about that. I even told you that Chauncey Garner wasn't going to be
that's
good.
True.
All right, which one do you want to start? You want to start corners or safeties?
Corners, and I've got to guess your top five, and I can do it. I'm good.
I'm not going to be able to guess your. You watched so many other dudes than I did.
I didn't watch that many.
I feel like I can't guess.
I can do this. Okay. I think Derek Beatty's number five, DeAndre Baker's number four, Amani Arwariya from Penn State. It still sounds wrong, but it's what's written there. I don't know. And Levante Taylor's number two, and Greedy Williams is number one. That's it. That's your top five. Exactly in order.
No.
Come on. I know you watched the one guy. I just didn't want to give his name away. Well, that's for the safeties. Never mind.
Yeah. You didn't have.
Who didn't I have?
Derek Beatty's not in there.
Oh, he's not in your top
Derek
five.
Beatty's not in there. No.
Okay. So I picked him fifth. But other than that, I was right.
Do you want me to? No, you had the order wrong on one other one. Do you want me to say all five?
Give us the bullet points.
Okay, Julian Love is number five. I like some of the things that he does.
I didn't think you liked him.
No, I like some of the things that he does. I think he's a good enough athlete, but again, we've talked about this earlier in the week. He wastes too much movement. I think he guesses a lot on the plays that he makes, and that's why I'm sure I'm going to watch other corners in this class that I like better than him, just because he is a better athlete than some of these guys, but... I just think he guesses too much on the plays that he makes. I'm not confident in his playmaking ability. Maybe he could change that in my mind in 2018 and look a lot more confident, look a lot more precise in the plays that he makes. Who knows? But he's number five there. Baker is number four for me, so you got that one right. Baker has, I think, a pretty complete game minus top-tier athleticism. And when you're playing the cornerback position, it is one of the positions in football that demands that you be a better athlete, because in theory, you know, when you're thinking about this, hey, you're a defender, you don't know where the ball is going, and you're going up against a quarterback who knows where the ball is going, a wide receiver who knows where the ball is going, and exactly what time it's going to get there. And so you've kind of got to be a superior athlete in that sense, because you've got to be able to anticipate, react, make plays when you're not exactly sure when it's going to get there. I didn't see that kind of athleticism for Baker. He's physical. I like a lot of the stuff that he does. I think he's smart with most of his movements. Just didn't have the athleticism for me.
He's number four?
Yep.
All right. I'm not giving anything away because you got to guess mine.
I'm not going to be able to guess yours. Levante Taylor is number three for me.
Wow. Okay.
I think he has lightning quick feet, and that's really important for playing a corner. I think it allows him to start and stop on a dime. It allows him to change direction really well. It allows him to move his hips pretty well. I think he's fluid in that area. The only area that concerns me really with Taylor is his size. And I'm just worried because I've seen it happen before where I really like a small corner and most of them really struggle to have the impact that I would want Levante Taylor to have because of the rest of his game that I think is really good. I'm just tempering myself right now with how much I like him in the other areas of his game and how good he could possibly be. Now we're talking in the NFL here. We're not talking in college football.
We do have it confirmed that he is 187 pounds, folks, currently.
Yes. Yes.
That has been confirmed.
ROREA is my number two.
Yes, you loved him. And by the way, you just totally butchered his name, so I don't want to hear it.
Arawarie is his name. Amani Arawarie.
Sure, we'll let you believe that.
How do you say it?
Arawarie.
What? Are you trolling me?
You're putting that at the end.
No, I'm not. I'm not falling for it.
Let's just ask the people what they think. They can vote. Who says
Amani
his name better?
Amani Arawarie.
Fan Friday. Both of you say Amani Arawarie's name 5 times. Fast. That's a good question. I hope
that might be a good gist. So I think he has prototypical size. I love his size.
You love him, man. I thought he might be number one.
I really like him. I just wish he was a little bit more athletic. I guess we'll kind of have to see during the season, but it's not necessarily something that gets improved upon a lot. You kind of are who you are.
Yeah.
Once you become, you know, a junior or senior. Is he a senior?
He's a redshirt senior.
I think he is a senior, right?
He's a redshirt senior.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's not like athleticism's really be better there, but right. I like a lot of stuff that I saw on tape from him, so I'm not going to take that away from him, the rest of it. And so,
I have that. Stick to your guns. I like it.
Trust me, pal. I'm not afraid to. You'll see in the safety class. Greedy Williams, number one. We talked about this earlier in the week. The ideal size, the ideal length that you would want to have for an outside corner allows him to play press coverage, and the thing that impressed me the most, and I talked about this on our earlier pod that on Monday when we were going over him in depth, how savvy he was for playing the position as just a redshirt freshman. I mean, being able to get his arm up and disrupt wide receivers at the exact time that you would want him to without having offensive pass interference, turning around to the ball right as it's kind of come in. I saw that a lot from him, and that is just something that you do not see from players that are supposed to be learning on the fly if they're getting playing time as redshirt freshmen. It seemed natural to him, and it's whenever I see a guy who has natural traits that are really important for a certain position, it's hard for me not to start to fall for that guy as a prospect, because that stuff is just completely – it's so hard to teach, and Greedy already has shown it at a really young age, and so that would be my top five corners.
You know what else is hard, Trevor? It's hard to find time to go to the gym. We've all got busy schedules. You know this. We've been working on the draft site. You've been going to Bucks camp. We are right in this moment where Nordic Track is able to provide people that are in our situations, as busy as we are, working as much as we are, struggling to find time to go to the gym, they're able to provide you a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, strength machines. You can join high energy. You could even join high energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. You can join streamed workouts in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. You can start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and with cross training on the shores of Thailand. Work out on the African safari. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. I may be one of those trainers. You'll have to listen to find out. You'll have to watch to find out. Trevor may be. Eventually, if he ever gets his weight up. Special offer, though, for Locked On NFL Draft listeners. Get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code LOCKEDON. Again, visit nordictrack.com/lockedon and use the offer code LOCKEDON during checkout to save $75 off your purchase. Nordic Track's great stuff. We really appreciate them sponsoring today's podcast. All right, now you have to guess my top five corners, Trevor.
I'm not going to know your... Okay.
I mean, you saying and predicting you're going to fail doesn't really incite me not to have you do it still. I'm excited to hear you mess this up.
I will say... Am I going to go 5-1?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will go... DeAndre Baker, Derek Beatty, Arawarie, Lamonte Taylor, Greedy Williams.
Fairly close, actually. Beatty's number five.
Who is?
Beatty's number five.
Okay.
So you're right about that. What I like when I watch Derek Beatty, I think he's got enough traits in terms of the athleticism that he'll check the box, and his length is really enticing. I've seen him make plays with his back to the ball. That's enticing. I do think he has to get better at it, but I see kind of the flashes of the complete game from Beatty. And it's not all consistent yet, but you talked about it. The high variance a little bit with him, but I think he's really close to putting it all together. I think he's going to have a nice senior year. Nice final season, and I think he's going to really put himself on the map this year. So trying to be ahead of the curve on that one. If not, it comes back to bite me. That's the nice thing about summer predictions. We'll see where he's at. But Beatty's number five for me. Julian Love's number four. I like him, but there's some limitations to what he does. I don't know how excited I'd be about him right now starting for a team. He has experience, so you do wonder how much better he can get. But there's some bad habits with him. When he's in press, he just doesn't get his hands on people. That's a kind of a consistent theme with a lot of these guys actually in press. They don't get their hands on people enough, and we're not talking about elite end athletes. You know, Amani Arwarie, who is actually third for me, he is kind of in the same boat. Both he and Love have to do a better job getting their hands on guys at the line of scrimmage. I think Love has some athleticism. He just has more bad habits and will bite on things a lot more than Arwarie. I think that, you know, Amani's got the size. There's no doubt about that. You know, I like that about it. He does show flashes of physicality, and he is pretty patient all the way around. He's got to improve at some things, though, no question about it. And I worry about the speed with him. You know, is he going to have to be a system guy, that's a little bit scheme protected? Because I don't think he runs super well. I think he's okay, but I don't think he runs super well. I could see teams wanting to move him to safety too. I wonder how much I think he could be like 210. Like we said, he looks like Quentin Meeks. Might even be bigger than Quentin Meeks was last year. Levante Taylor's number two for me. Technically, I think he's mentally sharp. He's technically pretty polished up. I watched a couple more games of him after we recorded Monday's pod. He impresses me in a lot of ways. The size is a concern. The ball skills are a concern. You know, if you're not a big corner, you better be a great athlete. I think he's a very good athlete, and I think you better make a lot of plays on the ball. That's going to be the area this year that he kind of shows, okay, I can be that guy. I can get my hands on 15 passes, and I can intercept three or four of them at least. And I think he's got to show himself as a playmaker this year. And yeah, I know he doesn't get tested a lot, so that is difficult. That is an aspect of the evaluation we have to consider as well. But I think he's going to get tested, and he's got to make some more splash plays when he does this season. So, and then Greedy Williams, you know, he's number one. He's not as polished as Taylor, but I just think, I mean, he's clearly the best traits. And what, was he a redshirt freshman last year? Clearly, you know, he's kind of clearly has the best skill set in terms of like, okay, this guy can be the top corner in the class. He can be a top 10 type of pick. He has that kind of talent. But I talked about on Monday's pod things that need cleaned up, so you can go back and listen to that. He's not there yet. I think he's definitely not there yet. But the traits are definitely there. Athleticism, fluidity, you know, length, physicality, even at the line of scrimmage. A lot of things technically you can clean up, things you can clean up down the field. But, yeah, in terms of traits, this guy, you know, he's got kind of what people are looking for. And I'm going to actually write a piece when the Draft Network launches. Sometime in those first 2 weeks, I'll write a piece about Greedy Williams and kind of what he has to do to solidify himself as a for sure top 5 to 10 type of draft pick, because he has that type of ability, no doubt about that. So top fives, we were both pretty close, even though we didn't even know who each other had watched. Safety's going to be a lot tougher. I have to guess yours, huh?
I'm not gonna. There's I watch guys and you watch guys for safety. So just you do your top five and I'll chime in on it. Just go through your top five guys.
Afraid to be great, it's fine. Tyree Kittle was number five for me. I don't even like Tyree Kittle. I said that on the podcast yesterday, but I'm sorry. I watched what, 10 safeties, I think. I could not find a fifth one that I liked, so he's not terrible. Right. Let's put it that way with Tyree Kittle. Mike Edwards from Kentucky is the fourth guy that I watched. Just kind of an interesting player, I think. I don't see like a big ceiling for him. He's probably a day three guy, but he has enough man coverage ability that I could see him kind of carving out a little bit of a role for himself in man coverage in the NFL, maybe playing a little slot corner. And, you know, he's a pretty good tackler. And so I think that, even though he's not the biggest guy. So special teams seems like it could be a role, and high motor and enough athleticism to stick. And will he ever be a desirable starter? I'm not sure, but I haven't seen five of those type of safeties in this class yet. So I'm going with Edwards for my number four guy. I like J.R. Reed. He's my number three guy. I did. I liked him. I was actually tempted to put him above my number two guy, Taylor Rapp. I think that they're very, very much on the same wavelength. And I think if Reed shows a little bit more ball skills, I don't even think it's a big strong point for Rapp, but I just don't really see it from Reed at all right now. So I need to see that. I need to see who's the bigger playmaker out of those guys. But I liked Reed. Run fills are really active. He's physical. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. He's a very smart player, very sharp player. I think he's going to really emerge as, I think he emerges as a better prospect than DeAndre Baker this season in that Georgia secondary. Rapp, we kind of talked about him yesterday. I think he kind of is who he is. Mentally, it's where he can get sharper. What's the right role for him in the NFL? Is he another Josh Jones like Green Bay in Green Bay? Can he be more than that? That's kind of where I'm at with Rapp. Again, not a guy I'm sure is even a top 50 pick, if that gives you an idea where I'm at with the safety class. Kind of in the same boat with Jaquan Johnson. I think he is probably the best chance of getting into that second round type of range. I think that he's a better athlete than Rapp. The ball skills are my big concern. I just don't know that I see a guy who's going to take the football away because he creates takeaways on a consistent basis. He's pretty conservative in coverage in terms of he gets there and he arrives in a physical fashion more than he does in a, you know, I'm looking for the ball, I'm trying to make a play, trying to create a turnover type of fashion, which means he gives up some catches, I think, as a result. So can he change that aspect of his game? Is he instinctive enough in that way? But I do like him as a physical presence and as a run defender. So there's my top five.
Okay. You watched some guys that I didn't get to yet. So yours and I, okay, and my list is going to be decently different. I have Dakota Dixon actually like sixth, who I just wanted to like kind of mention right outside the top five. He's a guy who I like consistency wise, but played from a lot of the tape that I watched of him, played a lot at the linebacker level, so it's hard to evaluate any kind of like deep safety play from him. So he did play there more. He was consistent, kind of like knew, looked like he was experienced, knew how to handle a lot of clutter and chaos, and could come up with some big tackles. And so I thought he was good in that aspect, but I just didn't see a lot of like impact, even like impact opportunities from Dixon. And so maybe that's a little bit different this year. I'm not sure. Chauncey Gardner from Florida is five for me.
Okay.
Just because he kind of has the athleticism.
This is what we talk about. This is why when I mentioned Florida people, you can't help yourself. You told me Chauncey was bad. And here we are.
He's okay.
I don't know what to say.
Chauncey was I don't know. What do you want from me?
Florida is like that bat. You can't kick it. Like,
oh my gosh, dude.
You're addicted to Gators.
You even said it yourself. He has the athleticism to play man coverage and play in coverage. He just didn't do it well last year.
You got an addiction, man. You got a problem.
Oh my God. Okay. Tyree Kendall is number four from Michigan. Again, this is like,
right, we have to keep a lot of these guys. You're probably talking about some, so like, not even top 100 guys, right?
Yeah, so I mean, like Kendall, we talked about the other day, he's more comfortable in coverage than he is coming up to make tackles, but he's another guy who there are a couple plays where I can see him like making an opportunity on the ball. It just doesn't happen a lot. It just doesn't happen a lot. I think he puts himself in situations where he doesn't have the opportunity to make certain plays. Like I was watching, you know, we talked about this. I was watching Devin Bush tapes, and Tyree Kendall continued to pop out on the screen at me, and I was like, okay, this dude can play. It turned out to be the only game that I saw of him that he really had like any kind of impact at all. So the rest of it was
which meh. Game was
so
it?
I was kind of that
game might be enough to move him to number Cincinnati? Two for me.
It might be Cincinnati. I don't know.
I think you did tell me. You did say Cincinnati. I remember you saying that because I remember thinking Cincinnati. In my head like, oh, what about a good team?
Taylor Rapp is three for me. You kind of hit on the points from him. I think he's solid in a lot of areas, but the upside,
right,
it looks limited right now just because he doesn't seem like a guy who could cover a lot of field in like free safety roles. He looks more comfortable in strong safety roles. He looks comfortable with things kind of in front of him, where he can lay good hits, where he can wrap up, where he can kind of contain people in zone coverage. When you ask him to play deeper coverage roles, sometimes he just has like lapse in judgment, or he wishes he saw something that he didn't, and the ball doesn't end up going to where he wanted to be. And so that was kind of a worry for me. Two is the guy that I saw that you did not. And that's Deontay Thompson from Alabama.
Yeah.
And Thompson did not play very much last year because Hootie Jones was in front of him. Jones gets a knee injury right before the college football playoff starts. And Thompson goes right in, and I did a little bit of kind of like backstory work on him. Did you see like what the coaches thought of him before that moment, what the teammates thought of him? And they all kind of raved about Thompson in practice. They talked about how this guy was, he gives all out effort every single play, like practice, game, everything. You totally see that in game. Thompson, and it comes off as reckless. He had plenty of plays where he looked absolutely reckless. Even if he made the play on the ball, there are a couple of times where it's against Georgia. The ball's going to Nick Chubb in a screen, and he like blows right by the wide receiver and almost like completely stumbles down, but stumbles into Nick Chubb like at full speed and almost brings him down by himself. So like that's the kind of plays that we're talking about. He does that a little bit in free safety too. Like there's one really good play where Fromm's throwing it deep down the field towards the sideline, and you think this is probably going to be a completed catch, and then out of nowhere, like Thompson just flies into the screen and like bats the ball away and flies out of bounds. And it's like, this is the kind of guy who he needs. You're going to watch him and you're going to roll your eyes or something at me, but he needs to be a lot more controlled. I just see a lot of top tier athleticism with him, and his effort level is always there. And in a safety class that I do not love to
this
point,
that's enough right there, man. I think if I watch a game and I see that, he's going to be safety too, no question.
I think that he's got a high enough ceiling to at least start the summer as my safety too. We'll see, because if he keeps playing as reckless as he does, because it's a cool thing to say, like, oh, this guy plays 100% all the time, like he gives all out effort, and like, okay, but you have to be able to control it too, or you're just going to get burned, especially as a last line defense guy. So we'll see what happens in 2018 with him. He should be in a full-time starting role. I'm really excited to see what he does with that athleticism and that kind of effort. And then number one for me is Jaquan Johnson. We talked about this yesterday, actually. My favorite trait of his is that he has always got his eyes in the backfield. He can read a quarterback very well. He's got a sixth sense for the things that are around him. His size kind of worries me, but really not that much. You were saying that you didn't see a lot of plays on the ball from him. I kind of disagree. I think I saw at least one game that you didn't, maybe two games that you didn't. And I thought he was a lot closer to making impacts on the ball, not just with the one-handed interception that I saw that you didn't, but there were a couple of plays where he was coming up to make hits and he was knocking the ball out, forced fumbles as well. So
I don't know if you remember, but I talked him up on the pod last year. I talked him up. I wanted him to declare last year's group, because I liked him a lot, and it was just based on what I'd seen live. I just like the whole culture thing with Miami. Like, I'm down with that. Like the turnover chain and like just, you know, the hype and everybody, the energy in that secondary.
Are they still doing that this year?
I hope they do. I don't know. I hope they do. But Sheldrick Redwine is like his running mate at safety, and he's super physical, kind of like got the dreads going, and like they just kind of have a presence on the field, you know, like they're intimidating, like energetic. They kind of have that edge to them, and I like that about it. I don't know, that to me, I enjoyed watching Miami's defense because of that aspect of it. They all played kind of just like with their hair on fire all the time. And I think that's basically and he's the captain. So, I mean, I think that speaks to kind of who he is and what he'll bring to a locker room, which I think will be really intriguing to teams. Again, I want to see more plays in the ball. That's what I want to see this season. So I like him. I'm excited about him. And I'm very excited to watch Deontay Thompson, who I just looked up, by the way. And I looked at he actually did. He started against Clemson in his first start. He started against Georgia. Yeah. Exactly the same as Mack Wilson. So I'm going back to watch those Mack Wilson games too for an article I'm going to do for the Draft Network. So definitely going to give him a little look.
I'll do an article on Deontay Thompson. So
good. Do it. Yeah. Let people know. I literally haven't heard one person mention his name. And he plays for Bama, so, like, It's not like you're like picking some dude out of like Bluefield State or something, you know?
I remember watching the college football playoff last year, and he made, I think, that first play where he almost had a crazy rangy interception. And I literally went, game, right? Who is 14? Yeah. And I'm like, who is number 14? I don't know. I've been watching Bama the entire year, and I have no idea who 14 is. Is he draft eligible? Because I'm going to draft him right now. And then, you know, found out it was Deontay Thompson. Was not draft eligible last year. This year, he actually gets a full-time starting role, so which is good.
Yeah, he'll be a redshirt sophomore this year. So this is very interesting. I can't wait to get some eyes on him and see. 6'2", 194. That's intriguing as well. So good stuff. There's our top fives, corner and safeties. We got Fan Friday tomorrow. Excited for it. And then, of course, the launch of the Draft Network next week. It's going to be super exciting stuff. It's dropping Sunday at midnight. So Sunday night, Monday morning, however you choose to describe it, at midnight. The site's going live. We didn't want to make you wait like 1 second into like...
Man, West Coast Monday people time. Get it on Sunday?
Yeah, West Coast people do. That's right, because we're doing East Coast time, God's time, obviously. So... Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And we're talking about quarterbacks next week. We said that yesterday in the pod, too. Yep. We're talking about quarterbacks on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. We are going to give our takes in the same week that the Draft Network rolls out. So fun and exciting stuff in store. As always, we thank you guys for listening. Head over to iTunes. Give us a review. Give us a rating. We appreciate it. Till next time, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.